Thank you to the sponsors, George and Shoshana Gutman. And also, again, to reiterate, as we had mentioned last week, that most likely, at least until Elul, maybe a week or two into Elul, this is our last shiur. As it so happens, I think it's in, they included it in the bulletin, for Parshas Vayeschanan, Rabbi Fran, who obviously also goes on vacation, asked me to sub for him. So at 9 o'clock at the Aguda, if you want to hear me for Parshas Vayeschanan, topic to be determined. But I'm told that my format has to switch a little bit because I need to leave 20 minutes for Chumash at the Aguda. They're more makbid on the Chumash than we usually are. But that will be, for the end of the summer, that will be, this and then that will be the last two shurim that I'll be giving. And as I say, at some point during Elul, we will pick up, Yemetz Hashem, continuing with this series of shiurim. At the Aguda? It's a din, is it a din in the Gavra? Or is it a din in the Mokum? Maybe that'll be the topic of the shiur. With King Claren.
The Chumash comes first because of Tadavishen.
Okay, that was last week's topic. Okay, good. All right, so Parshas Matos has at least what's relevant for us halachically. There's an interesting issue of Nedarim, a lot of the halachos of Nedarim with the discussion that Moshe has with Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. And there's also interesting discussion halachically that comes out, the whole sugya of Tfilas Kelim. The source for Tfilas Kelim comes from Parshas Matos. This part of the story, it's a narrative, but it has a halachic component, is the final piece in the puzzle from the issue which began already in the end of Parshas Balak, carried through in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, and now finally here we have the Melchama with Midyan, and it's after we have defeated those that the word goes out to the people. This is in Perek Lamed Aleph, Psukim Chaf Aleph through Chaf Gimel. V'yomer Lazar HaKohen El Anshei HaTzava HaBoim LeMelchama. Zos chukas haTorah asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. This is a whole new parsha of halachas. This is a very, that's an important, like a formal introductory type pasuk that have a new parsha now, a new area of halacha which you never knew. I'm about to teach you. Ach es hazav, only the gold. Es hakesef, the silver. The nechoshes, the copper. The barzel, the iron. The bedil is what's a good translation for bedil? Tin. Thank you. Ve'esa oferes, the lead. Kol davar asher yavu ba'esh, ta'aviru ba'esh. V'taher. That anything which goes into fire, just translating now literally, can has to be put back into fire, v'taher, and purified. Ach. Ach is also, we know in Chumash, especially in halachic context, the way ach is used in the Parshas Hamoadim, for example, ach is always a very important word. Ach, v'mei nida yischata, put it in the meinida and a mikvah. V'chol asher lo yavo b'esh, however, other things which are not used with fire, ta'aviru b'mayim. Then that goes through water. So already, as you are probably familiar, being hinted at here, is actually three different halachos. Three different parshios. Mamish, it's a whole section of Yeredeya. Three different simanim, three different halachos, right in these psukim. Number one is the opening part, which is the taviru b'esh. Namely, the idea that if one cooks with something on the fire, you roasted something, you have a grill or something. In this case here, they're taking the spoils of war. The Midyanis, you had a grill, they fired up the grill, had a steak. So you want to kosher that. How do you kosher that? This is the phrase which we're familiar with in halacha, kabolo, kach polto. If they used it with fire, this is what's called libun. You have to use it with fire to get rid of it. We'll skip the middle for a moment, which is actually the subject of this year. And the end of the psukim, something that's not pe'esh, i.e. something where you boil it, you cook through the heat medium that's carried through water. So then that's how the psukim, the pasuk ended. Ta'aviru b'mayim, that is the principle of hagola. What the Mishnah, the Gemara, in Maseches Avodah Zarah, and Daf Ayin Hei of Medbeis, darshins, is that there is those are clear in the psukim. In the middle, the bridge between that is a little bit unclear. And in fact, this is what the Gemara darshins. The middle phrase being, v'taher, ach b'mei nida yischata. The word v'taher, that we'll see in a moment, if it's already taviru be'esh, so therefore it's gotten rid of the tumah, memela, it's already tahor, so why add the word taher, we'll see, is the part of the drasha, as well as the ach b'mei nida yischata. Why the need for that? So in fact, the Gemara here, as I mentioned in Avodah Zarah, the Ayin Hei Amud Beis, tells us, halokeach kli tashmish min haove kochavim, esh adarcho lahatpil yatpil, lahagil, yagil, lalabein b'or yalabein. exactly what we just saw, the basic halachos here. Goes through different things, the shpo, different types of things. And then the Gemara, which is relevant for us, says the following. Tana, v'kulon tzrichin tefila. So what did that mean? Ba'arba imsa, you have to do a tefilas kelim in the mikvah. V'nahani mili, what is the basis for a concept that in certain cases you have to take a keli to the mikvah? Amar ravod, amar kral, kol davar asher yavo ba'esh, taviru ba'esh, v'teher. Hosif l'cha ha'kosuv, ta'ara acheres. This verse of this word of taher is obviously extra. Then another part of the drasha, b'meinida, shemeani, shetzara chaza, shlishi, ushvi. These are other areas of tuma. Gemara darshan is why you need both for taher and meinida. Then Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, afilu kelim chadashim b'mashma. You would have thought that until now this just was an added thing. Don't just kasher it, but throw it in the mikvah when you take it from the Midianites. But now the Gemara says, no, there's a new halacha. Even if this was never cooked with anything that's treif, you bought it brand new. Nevertheless, there's still an obligation. How do we know that? Because the liben kechadashim. If you make it through a libane, that's as if you've basically destroyed it and remade it. So from the fact that we need to do the libun, that shows us, and then there, the pasuk talks about a meinida after that, a tahara after that, that shows that even when it's as if it's brand new, you still need a tahara b'mikvah. Even therefore it's implied that even if you buy it, it's therefore a filu hachi by tefila. So too it would be the case in anything else that's brand new. The Gemara in its continuation mentions a few of the details which I hope to get to in the shir. For example, if you skip a line or two, the Gemara tells us Kli Suda Amurin Beparsha, that it's dafka things which are defined as Kli Suda. Not any utensil needs tefillah, but something that is used for food. Kli Suda. How do we know that? The Gemara doesn't explain it. But Rashi adds, the Hoksiv called up Esher Yavu Ba'esh. The pasuk, as we had read, talks about things which are used in the fire. And something that's somewhat controversial, we'll see from other mafarshim, but the way Rashi understands it, the ein derech l'shtamish ay deha or ela kelim shel tzorche su'uda u'bahanu k'siv v'taher tvila. Others, such as what's called the zuza desarbala, lo. Rashi has this assumption that what are types of kelim, right? The garbage can's a keli, but you don't put that on the fire. You don't need to have tefilas kelim on the garbage can. What types of food do you put on the fire? Food you're using, because there's something in there, kelim that you're using, there's something in there for food preparation. So, in poskim, we'll have to see a few examples to sort of flesh it out, and it's not clear even after we try to do that. But somehow, there's a dividing line, certain things that are too far away, even if they're somehow connected to food, but they're too advanced in the food, too early in the food preparation, may not need tefillah, or perhaps maybe it's a suffix, so we'll do it without a bracha, but only things which are the ideal quintessential case is things which are used to cook food on the fire. For example, again, in here, fire or water is not differentiate a pot which you use for water as opposed to the grill, there's not going to be an afkamina. Either way, if you cook with it, that is going to be the halacha of tefilas kelim. Now, the psukim themselves, and perhaps I was hinting at this, so to speak, if I read it or the Gemara a little bit clumsily, it's a little bit confusing. The taich is not exactly clear, even with the Gemara, and in fact, that's why there's a big discussion in Rishonim, even Al Torah, and as well as Al Shas, how to understand these different ideas. So Rashi, we had already mentioned, there's also Aran that discusses in the Gemara here about how the Taher works. The Ramban Al HaTorah asks on them, he doesn't like the way they understand it. If you look, if you want a more of a summary, again, even just so you see the Mepharshim, how they touch the words, understand the Drasha, so you can look first of all in the Torah Tamima in Bamidbar here on the Pasuk, as well as the big Simon in Yoredeya for Tfilas Kalim is in Yoredeya in Simon Kuf Chaf. And if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, there's Sif Gimel, as Aruch HaShulchan very often does, he takes us really from the beginning of a sugya before he gets into the details, so he also works a little bit on this, so to speak, on this derivation. This idea, we had mentioned, I focused just momentarily on the fire, right? I said it doesn't matter, water or directly on a fire, that's for Libun versus Hagolah, but not for us. What about Kalim? And then I said on the other extreme, a garbage can or something, it's nothing to do with food. That's not Kli Suda. What about a keli, which is clearly used for food, but has nothing to do with cooking? Classic example, cups. You already know from experience that we are Tovel cups, but the question is why? It's not Taviru Be'esh. So Rashi says it comes from the continuation of the pasuk. When the pasuk says things which are not ba'esh, even though the way we read the pasuk, that was telling us a halacha about hagala. But Rashi understands that also is teaching us the idea that when it comes to tfilas kalim, even something like a cup, which is not on there. This is itself very controversial. The Ramban al Torah attacks Rashi for this limud. So you look at the Mefarshi Rashi, the Mizrahi, the Rishon, the Gur Aryeh by the Maral. They try to defend Rashi from this. The Hamek Shela, that's the Netziv in the Shiltas, and Shilta Kuf Lamed Zayin in the Netziv in Os Yud Beis. He defends Rashi, but it's a little bit awkward. The Halachos, once we get to the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemaras, in terms of the details, those are pretty clear and interesting, although of course there's some machloksim, but it's a little bit of I don't know if it's an irony, it's just worth noting that how we get to even really first base, you know, we kind of stumble out of the batter's box, so to speak, until we kind of get our bearings in terms of exactly how things line up and where they come from. Well said.
Not required to be tabled. But if it was made to start this way.
We're talking about a guy here. Yeah, an
Echanami. So why if you're doing Nibun, it's like making a new Kaili, you can't broke it, make it new, why do you need to be put in?
You're talking about why in that particular case there?
Right.
Leave that for a Chumash class. This is not, it's not for now. In other words, if you trace something up and you called me and I told you had the kasher, you wouldn't take it to the mikvah.
Right.
That's not. This is the derivation of the psukim from there. But for us, we have those halachas. Just before we get into some of the details of the halachas, it's just worth noting what's the reason for tefilas kelim. I mean, in Mela, again, maybe next year we'll for Matos we'll do Hagala or Libun or something, Hesher kelim, which is the way those two are referred to as a unit. But Lamaisa, there at least we can imagine the reason. If we know there's a principle in halacha, this is the first big step called tam ki'ikr, that you have an absorbed taste. So once you have an absorbed taste, you'll have to figure out how to get it out to kasher. But a brand new pot that you take right out of the box, why should there be any problem? So the truth is that the Rush and Avodah Zarah here in Perek Yud, Simen Lamed Vav, as well as the Beis Yosef, they say, Ein Chanami, it's Exeris HaKosuv below tam. This is what Hashem said to Elazar, he told us, period. However, it's worth noting the Ritva and other Rishon who quoted Yerushalmi, that has an interesting analogy and says that even though there's nothing quote-unquote absorbed in it, but if it was owned by a guy, it has a certain tumas gayim, quote-unquote, and just like, this is the analogy that Yerushalmi gives, just like a ger, a convert, needs tefillah as he transfers from being a non-Jew to the Kedushas Yisrael, so too on a much lower level, the kelim, if they're coming from non-Jewish to Jewish possession, need its quote-unquote conversion, and that's tefillas kelim.
Build a out of material owned by a Yid is okay?
No.
So it has to do with ownership then. You said it has to come.
I want you to know, when I was finishing up this year, this last hour, I realized I had there's so much here. I have enough for 3 or 4 shurims. I was trying to edit out. So one of the things I edited out was your discussion. There's much, much discussion. Maybe instead of doing Haggalah next year, we'll do Tefillas Kelim again. It'll be part 2 and part 3. There's a lot. This is a Tamei HaMitzvos from the Yerushalmi. I don't want to get sidetracked by it, but that's how the Yerushalmi understood. That's the Yerushalmi's suggestion. Now, a very basic question, a very, very basic question, which I would imagine at this point you're taking for granted, is this a mitzvah d'araisa d'rabbanon? So if you just read the Gemara, what would you say? I'm not talking about if you don't buy kelim, therefore you don't need it. But Maisa, when you buy the kelim and you want to use them, is it daraisa darabanan that you have to tovel? Everyone would think it's daraisa. This is a massive, 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 massive machlokas rishonim. I'll mention a few of the other names of the players afterwards, but just to give an example of where there's a major discussion is about what is exactly the shitas harambam. The Rambam discusses this in Hilchos Machalos Asuros and Perek Yud Zayin. He starts off with the other types of things, the Liban and the Hagala, and then he mentions in Halacha Hey, the idea of when you have a new Keli, you have to be Tovlet. So what is the Lashon of the Rambam? Tevila zu, shemad bilin kli suda, hanil kochen min hagayim. You take, let's take a fork or something, a utensil, a plate, that you bought from a non-Jew. Va'achar kach, yosur l'achila. Then it becomes mutter for eating and for shtia. Eina le'inyan tuma v'tara, ela mi divrei sofrim. It's got nothing to do with the Tum of the Tara that I just spoke about ahead of time, before this, right, Kalim, right, thinking based on Mikdash time, Kalim can become Tumei, so they need a mikvah. That's obviously, those are Daraisa concepts. Says the Rambam, this is not me inyan tamei v'tara, this is me divrei soprim. I didn't have a Mishnah and a Gemara that just told us about a pasuk from Parshas Matos. Right here I am making a Tfilas Kalim is a Matos sugya. Says that apparently the Rambam is not true. So what did the Gemara mean when it said this? So Zok the Rambam, v'remez law, that the Torah hinted at it, called over Shriyavu Be'esh, Taviru Be'esh, v'taher. And then he adds, umi pi hashmua lamdu, the Mesorah is, she'ena medaber ela b'taharasa mide gulei goyim, v'lo mide tuma, that we're not talking about tuma v'tara in the ritualistic Beis HaMikdash sense, we mean just buying it from a non-Jew. She'ein l'chatuma olai de'eish v'chalatmeim b'tfila olin b'tmasa. And he explains why, because the Pasuk is talking about eish, that's how we know what we're referring to, what it can't be referring to. Kev shekasu v'taher, amru chachamim. Now another hint, amru chachamim. Hosif lo tahara acher, etc., etc. It's not just enough that it's not, it's kosher. Hosif lo, an extra tahara. So the Rambam there says divrei sofrim. He talks about it being a remez, and he says v'hosif the chachamim, amru chachamim. So if you look, whatever the pashas of the Gemara may be one way, but certainly the pashas of the Rambam is that it's only midrabanan. And in fact, the Bach and Yerodea and many, many others assume that that is in fact what the Rambam held. However, and it's also worth noting that the Rashba discusses this in three places, in his Chedusha on Avodah Zarah and in his Sefer Toras Habayis. In all of those, he assumes also that the Rambam holds as Darabonan. However, the Rashba has a tshuva, leave aside, there's discussions about it, but not for tonight, at least not with me here now, had a mimiyashiv, the internal sphere of the Rashba, but that's not for now. The Rashba has a tshuva, though, where he reverses himself, and he goes to task, assuming that even the Rambam holds, no, it's Daraisa. This is picked up on by a number of achronim, the Shagas Aryeh and the Tshuvas HaChadoshos and Simin Beis. The Stei Chemed also has a big discussion where he collects a lot of the literature, and they hold, no, the Pashas of the Gemara cannot be avoided, and therefore we have to understand that the Rambam, even the Rambam holds its Daraisa. So why does the Rambam say it's Midivrei Sofrim? So this, for anyone who's learned Maseches Kedushin or of any other different times of the Rambam, I think, if I'm not mistaken, someone once wrote a PhD thesis in Eretz Yisrael on Midivrei Sofrim. I think it may have even been published as a book. It's at least 100 times I think somebody collected that the Rambam uses Midivrei Sofrim, and there have been major studies. It's not at all clear, but there are definitely examples where people assume, not just in this case, what the Rambam uses Midivrei Sofrim, he does mean Midrabanan. Perhaps if one wants to push this argument, you could say the best raya is that in a classic example relating to Kiddushin, his son Rabbi Avram ben Rambam quotes his father's shita as holding it be something being Midrabanan because the Rambam referred to it as Midivrei Sofrim. So we'll get to that in a second. We have to know what that means. But the Rambam again has his Amru Chachamim, and he says Midivrei Sofrim. So some say, oh, you see, it's Darabonan. So others say, first of all, that's not what it means. That the Rambam means when he says Midivrei Sofrim is that, of course, the principle is Daraisa, but it was elucidated. It's not Beferish Bakra. How do we know? Again, we were struggling. What does it mean with the Rashis and the Ramban and the Torah? And how did we get it? We understand. The Rabbanan extracted it from the Pesukim in a way that we might not have on our own. But that doesn't mean that the principle is not Daraisa. And again, it could very well be that that is the Rambam's general principle. Again, this is that could be a shir in its own right. How does Rambam use Midivrei Sofrim? But another example, not only is Midivrei Sofrim not necessarily definitive in the Rambam, even the term Amru Chachamim, which again, if you just ask me cold, I'd say that's black on white. How can you get out of that? But they point out that even that's not so clear. For example, a number of places the Rambam will say Amru Chachamim when we know it out of doubt it's Daraisa. For example, the famous example of the Rambam's opening things, paraphrasing the Gemara in Tainis, on Hilchos Tefillah, Perak Aleph, Lacha Aleph, the Rambam says, Amru Chachamim, Ezvi Avodah Shevelev, Tefillah. So we know the Rambam himself, for sure, that's Lashitas Rambam, holds that at least one time a day Tefillah is Daraisa. That's what he's describing there. Avodah Shevelev, okay, that's the Avodah Shevelev. And he starts it off with Amru Chachamim. So they point out that that's not a Raya. Furthermore, if you want to go back to see Chazal even use that term, they point out that the Mishnah Ladaf, in your honor, the Mishnah in Masechah Sukkah in Perek Gimel, are you up to Sukkah yet? Not yet, okay. So a preview. Perek Gimel, Mishnah, Yud Gimel, talks about the idea that on the first days of Sukkot, you can't be Yotzei using your friend's Lulav, that's a din of Lachem, and the Mishnah itself uses the term Amru Chachamim. But we know from the Gemara understands that's a din Daraisa. So you see that, for whatever reason, sometimes the Amru Chachamim is used, and it's not it's not a raya. Furthermore, Eli was mechaben to the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah adds that Mipia Shmuel Lamdu is the machriya, because Mipia Shmuel Lamdu means it's like a Mesorah Daraisa, if you want to call it Halachat Moshe Misinai or not. That may be a formal category. I'm not sure if he means that or not, but he may. But we're not going to commit up to that right now. Just the Kesef Mishnah says, you see, that shows that it's a Mesorah Daraisa. If you're interested in doing, as I say, further research really on this topic or anything else related to Tfilas Kalim, there is what I would call the Bible on Tfilas Kalim, or it could be known as the Blue Book, and that is a Hebrew the book by Reb Tzvi Cohen, who's the author of, I think, close to 20 Svarim now, maybe it's already past 20, I'm not sure, called Tfilas Kalim. It happens to be, I have the Hebrew one at home, I used it to a large extent in preparing the shir. I also bought a few years ago, they translated, just for those who are interested, a paraphrase, a pretty good paraphrasing of the Sefer, I mean, he leaves that a lot, which is why I call it a paraphrase, this is half the size of the Hebrew one. In Hebrew words, you can get a lot more on a page, more content and less words. They translated it here. The reason I find the English one advantageous is that one of the things that he did, which is great in the Sefer, is that one of the last things is he goes through alphabetically a list of any possible utensil you could think of after all the principles he's enumerated for a few hundred pages with 1,000 footnotes. He then gives you the Lamaisa, alphabetically every possible utensil you could think of. So some of them are straightforward, but some of them, for those of us who are not 100% fluent in modern Hebrew, you're struggling to figure out, you can read, you know what Rambam means, but you're not sure what the word on top means. What's he referring to? What's a can opener? What's a peeler? What's a this? So the English one, at least for me at least, I find that to be helpful. I know it's, I'm not questioning, I'm guessing which Kalim he's referring to. But either way, I'll give you the Marmakomas I have are from the Hebrew Sefer, but if you look in his Movo, he has an introduction. So on page 32 to 33, that's one full page with small type. He gives you a list of all Rishon and Mahol that feels Kalim is only made a Rabbanon. Then he gives you, page 34 to 36, and for those who are listening carefully, that's more an extra page, because Rov Rishonim Hold, those are all the Rishonim Hold, it's a Din D'Oraisa, and that is in fact what we seem to assume L'Halacha. Okay, maybe even the Rambam holds that, maybe he doesn't, but either way, most Rishonim certainly do hold that way.
Maybe the Rambam prefers the Tardis, that Rambis is Rambis is Vash.
And therefore, yeah.
So that's as opposed to Pshat.
That's what he means by Midir Sovereign?
Yeah, all of that.
Okay, I don't know. As I said, I think Mamash someone wrote a safer about this. We mentioned, I alluded to before, let's just focus on it now for a few minutes, that the Gemara says it's the idea of Kli Suda. So how do you define Kli Suda? So I also mentioned Rashi has this alimut of Kol Davar Asher Yavo Ba'esh. Some people argue with that, but the bottom line is what seems to emerge is as follows, that Kli Suda includes all utensils which have minimally, at least, direct contact with food. If it does not have direct contact with food, you put it in a pot and then the pot on the oven tray, for example, if you would be sure that food itself would never touch it, so that would not be included. That's too far removed. Furthermore, many posts can discuss the idea that it has to be something that is used in the final stage of the food preparation, but anything that would be too early, for example, there's a discussion about cookie cutters, right? Just when you have the flat dough and you're going to do the thing with the kids for the Hamantashen and for Hanukkah, whatever you're doing. So that's a shaila. I'm not here to pass on that shaila now, but the reason that that's a shaila is because perhaps that's too far removed. It's touching the food, but it's really too early, perhaps, according to some post-kim. It's not the final preparation. It's not the pan you're putting it in when you put it in the oven. So that's part of the attention. There is an interesting suggestion. It's so radical that even he goes back on it, but it's worth noting that the Rogachover and the Tzofnas Paneach and Machalos Asuros in Perek Yitzayin, he says the following original Chiddush, that it only constitutes Kli Suda if the guy that you either received or bought it from himself made it for his use for Kli Suda. If he only used it for himself for commercial use, and you're going to use it for Kli Suda, that wouldn't be sufficient. That's an unbelievable kula if it would be true. Massive, massive kula if it would be true.
Kimat.
But he then goes back on it. He goes back on it himself. And the truth is that the Adnei Nezer has a tshuva in Yeridei Simen Kavav, where he goes to town on the suggestion, and he proves without any shadow of a doubt that that cannot mean what it means. However, we'll see subsequently if the Jew only buys something for commercial use, for example, This is going to be part of the shayla that we'll see momentarily about restaurants and things. But if a Jew only buys it for commercial use, then in Echanami, that might not be considered Kli Suda, even though the commercial use relates to food. But if I'm the owner and I'm not going to eat with it, for me it's commercial as opposed to eating, that might not be Kli Suda. But this idea that we're going to go by the guy, that Chiddush, even though it's raised by the Rogachover, it does seem to be rejected. Something that may be excluded, just to give you an example, because in theory we could have endless examples, but just to give you an example, the Shach actually quotes in one form or another, I'm not exactly sure how what they were using in his day, but he refers to things like bottle or can openers. So those are too far removed. Shach says they do not need tefillah. And in the Sefer Tefillas Kelim, he quotes from Dayan Vosner from Bnei Brak, who points out that even if you'll tell me that the can opener actually touches the food, still okay. That's still okay. What about stove racks or a blech? So based on what I just said until now, you would think, and you could make a persuasive argument, that they should not need. Why? We don't throw the steak directly on the rack or on the blech. So one could make such an argument. In fact, in Yoredeya, in Simon, again, I mentioned this, Simon Kufchav Sivdal, and the Prichadish there, in Sivkat and Yudbeis, they discuss the stove racks or a blech, which pots are normally placed. They say, then you wouldn't need tefillah. Only places that are directly have the immersion, directly have the food on it, then it would be, for example, like a grill or a toaster rack. That would be required to be tovel. There is a very strong, counter argument, which I believe is the more prevalent minhag, is to do the tefillah necessary anyway, for the simple reason that very often things spill or whatever the case may be. But those types of things, if people do it, they should probably do it with something else that requires a bracha, so they can make the bracha on that. You're looking at me very funny. Between that, there's the fact that, listen, every now and then, like, you know, my wife would never think of putting the food directly on it. But if I was home alone and looked around and no one was looking, maybe I would. I don't know, we want to raise that, we'll take a poll. Who took the oven racks to be toveled? Oven racks. Okay, so there's a very good, yeah, okay.
What about
because
it's
not made of
a tree?
No. The oven, that's the oven. That's the walls. No, the racks are not. Mechumah lekaka is, that's true.
It's kashrus with Liban Chomer, the oven racks for Pesach. Isn't that the same?
If you have a clean oven, you do.
And if you don't?
You and I have had Pesach discussions before. I have Nissan to have my Pesach discussions with you. This is not for now. Okay, let's just move on. Related point. Shlomo Zalman Arbach is quoted in this Sefer Tefillas Kelim about vegetable bins and refrigerator racks. So there the food touches directly. First, leave aside the issue of the material, which we'll get to. But even if it would be one of these materials, he's still makel, because again, that's not preparation of food. It just happens to be resting. It's like a countertop or something. It's a big cool. That's our Shlomo Zalman. What about the following? This is a major discussion. I remember back in the day in the yeshiva, we used to, this was known as the Rav Shechter Snapple Bottle Shaila. What if you buy something which has something in it, the drink? So you don't have to tovel the Snapple bottle. The soda can, soda is aluminum. You don't have to tovel that. But let's say the soda you finish, you throw out, or you recycle if you're economical. But what about if you'll wash it out and you want to keep it, now use it as a jar? My mother-in-law, so long as she should be well in case she's listening, and even if she's not listening, so in our family it's known, she reusing things all the time. If you want to know where's the mustard, it's in the old mayonnaise jar. You know, back and forth, she's reusing things all the time. It's very confusing. Big Shiloh, do you have to be told for that? You have to be told for that. That's not at all poshut. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he's mekel. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, this is in Yerdeya, Chelik Beis, Simon Mem, where he's mekel. But there were others, and I believe this was a Masorah named Rav Shechter, who were not at all comfortable with that kula, and were very adamant that you use it once to be mekel, because that's the way it was made, that's what you bought. Right, because when the heter was initially, because it was just the scorches. Now that it's becoming a permanent keli, the fact, how is it becoming a permanent keli? Because I'm the one who's doing it. I'm the one who's washing it. I'm the one who's taking off the wrapper or whatever.
What's the original heter for the drinking from the snapple itself? What's the
contribution? I think the assumption is based on the commercial use. That's not.
In other words, it's supposed to.
disposable. Well, we'll get to disposable. We can get to disposable also. We'll get to disposable in a second. Okay, so let's get to the issue of disposable. Because again, that's the whole point. If it's made to be disposable, the shaila is, am I turning it into permanent? So let's see the more direct issue, which is the disposable kalim to begin with. Where I was going to mention it here. I'll skip to that now. So this is a huge discussion, not just about the Snapple bottle, but this is when you buy the tins, like the tins that the children are in. Right? So some people, right, as my Bubby would say, if we had aluminum tins in the old country, she'd washed it for years. Right. Even in the new country, I saw her washing styrofoam cups. So she certainly would have washed aluminum. So Shaila is, what about aluminum is a metal. Aluminum, we assume you have to, in theory, one would have to have tefila on. But it's temporary. If it's temporary, it might not have the din of a kli. Some of you may remember half a year ago or so, on a Friday night, when we were learning Hilchos Shabbos, I mentioned there's a huge discussion in Poskim, can you make Kiddush in a disposable cup? Now, the minig in virtually all of Klal Yisrael at public Kiddushes is to. Right? They don't put out metal cups, permanent cups at the Kiddush. But many Poskim, the Masorah in our generation, they quote us in all the Sfarim, is that the Sat Merov was adamant that you're not Yotzei at all, it has no din of a kli, nothing. Rav Moshe and most others said lechachila you shouldn't, but b'diavad most did seem to defend it. But that's an analogous situation where again the idea of being disposable somehow makes it on a lower level, and that we could have halachic nafkaminas.
So the issue is disposable is a relative term. Some people, and how permanent is permanent use? Is it one time use or is it
So many poskim, the Chelkas Yaakov, the Dayan Weissman, Chas Yitzchak, Rav Wozner quoted it in the journal that comes out of his Bezdin of Bnei Brak, call me Beis Levi, they all hold that if it's a disposable, because that's how it was made, but I'm saving money, whatever, and I'm going to, you do not need tefillah. However, Rav Moshe does have a tshuva I misspoke. They are machmer that you do need tefillah. The minog in America among those who are makel to be makel is because Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Rav Moshe has a sort of a compromise. He says if you use it one, two, three times, I think that's his number, that's still okay. But if you would go more than that, and especially if you knew in advance that you were going to go more than that, even Rav Moshe says you would need a tefillah on the aluminum. Now, I've never seen anyone taking these aluminum things to the mikvah. Okay, whoa, okay. Eino raya. Okay. What do you mean by bend it in? Oh, so this thing about the aluminum I never heard before. But the principle, which is that sometimes there's difficult things to be tovel or you can't be tovel. One of the things I was going to discuss, but I edited out about an hour ago, is the whole sugya Maseches Beitza about tefillah b'Shabbos. There's four different So one of the suggestions, let's say you didn't have a chance to be tovel before Shabbos. So there's also the different suggestions. I can't get to a mikvah, who knows what, or just in general with electrical appliances. So mikra din, you're supposed to be tovel those. For example, the whole toaster should go in. The whole hot water urn should go in. And I can tell you from my sister Hayas many, many times over with me and my friends, if you let it dry for a few days and even you blow dry, nothing will happen. It'll be fine. But people are nervous. So one of the solutions, if you know, now I would break them, so I never know how to fix them. To break them is the easy part. The chacham has to fix it. But if you do something, you break it, somehow disable it, and then fix it, that's misukan idea yid. So again, I didn't know about this aluminum thing, but that's al derech zeh. That's the same. I decided not to talk about the basis. Okay. Okay. Another issue to mention, I had alluded to it before, this is very important, very nogei lemaisa, is the issue of restaurants. So you know the food is kosher, but Lav Dafka, the owner knows, or the Mashkech was careful that they were tovel all the kalim.
A Jewish owner.
Yeah, well, yes. So, the shaila is what to do. So, many, including going back to the Munkatra Dayan and the Darki Tshuva, as well as the Minchas Yitzchak again, so they're makel completely. If it wasn't tovel, because even though the whole thing is, you're eating it, it's food, and the guy who bought it was so that other people could eat at the restaurateur. But since he's the owner, and his purposes are not kli suda, his purposes are commercial, so they hold mutter.
Even if he eats there sometimes.
Apparently. I don't know if they considered it or not, but I thought about that myself, because it would seem obvious that, I mean, we all envision that if you come in before or after dinner, the owner's eating some of the food, right? Right. Now, if I remember correctly, I didn't see this now, but years ago when I was learning these halachos for my bechinas, I seem to remember with a Baltimore connection that the Shuvah is based Avi. That's Rav Yitzchak Isaac Libus. That's how, who was the dayan of the Igud HaRabbanim, and obviously a relative of the local Libus family. So he, I thought, had a slumdus. I didn't see this recently, but I believe this is now gone back 7 years, I think, that I took this bechina. I think I remember him saying that he held he was heter for a different reason. Maybe the restaurateur is chayev. What's that got to do with me? I'm allowed to eat it. It's his chiv. The chiv is on the owner. It's not the chiv on the guests. That's a second svara. However, there is a very significant chumrah, which I don't know if everyone is, I would guess maybe you'll say balna.
I'm not allowed to eat tefillah. We hold it at malacha?
If I remember correctly, I hope I didn't misspeak, but if I remember correctly, I think that was his chiddush. That's what he held. Right. That what you may be thinking of, maybe you're preconditioned to, is that Rav Moshe argues on all of this. Maybe that's, Rav Moshe argues, Rav Moshe holds that you are nisar in such a thing, you are obligated by it, and he holds that this commercial heter is not sufficient. Kavachomer, you don't have a commercial heter when you get invited over to a guest. There are many people who were in different circumstances all invited to, who we can trust, within wide reason perhaps, they're kashrus, but many people don't know about the whole halacha of Tfilas Kalim. I guarantee you there are communities worth of people who may not know about Tfilas Kalim. So what do you do? And there you have no commercial heter. So if you hold of like this other shita that says it's not my business, I don't have to worry about it, so that would be a good heter if it's true. Rav Moshe struggles mightily. Rav Moshe, because he knows this is a tremendous problem. So Rav Moshe really says that you should have to be usher. But then he fetches out the following original heter, which would never have made him in good position with Emily Post. Rav Moshe has the following heter. He says, a fork or a knife are nice. But could you eat without it? Could you eat with your hands? So therefore, it doesn't have an ikar din of kli suda, therefore you can be makel on the fork and the knife. What about the plate? You can put the steak on the table. You don't really need a plate. Sir, Rav Moshe was makel. But the one thing that you cannot get out of according to Rav Moshe?
A bowl
and a glass. Anything that relates to liquid. Anything that was in the cup, you can't drink, according to Rav Moshe. Okay. So, it was even the Rabbanan's too. It's not a say. He held, I'm telling Rav Moshe, I didn't tell you what you have to do. Rav Moshe held, you have to be tovel that. If you can't be tovel that, even his own heter that, it's not like I'm really using the plate because I don't need it. That's not applied to a cup and to a bowl.
I'm saying that he's assuming
that. Yes.
So, once you're.
Oh, you're saying, can you be tovel that maybe the guy did do tefillah? No. Okay, maybe that's. Okay, fair enough. Okay, let's see a few other halakhas, so we have time for a few more minutes. So since you mentioned it, let's see how far we can get in this point, the issue of glass. So glass, as you recall, is not one of the six metals mentioned in the Psukim. So where did glass come from? Glass comes from a Gemara. It's an explicit Gemara. The Gemara says that Zechuchus is included in the halakha because Zechuchus, is considered comparable to the metal. Why is it? As the Gemara alludes to somewhat vaguely, excuse me guys for a second, and Rashi makes more clear specifically, the chap apparently is, and this is completely irrational, not with an I, but with an A, because to me, it's just a masura that Chazal must have had. Why you'd assume this? Why is it dumya to matris? Because just like that, if it would break, it can be reconstituted as opposed to earthenware, which is unsalvageable. So since you can, in theory, meld the glass back together, therefore, the Gemara understands that you're also chayiv in zchuchas. That is the Masara that we have. The Shaila is that the Araisa? When we say the Gemara Darshas is dumya to the matchas. Is that the Araisa or is that only the Rabbanan? So there is a minority view quoted by the Maimer Mordechai and Darchei Tshuva, from other poskim, that it in fact is a din de oraisa. But most Rishonim in poskim, the Tosfos Arash and the Meiri, Chachmas Adam and the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Chaim Zonnenfeld and his Salmas Chaim in two different shuvas, they seem to prove pretty conclusively this is the assumption that we have lahalacha, is that glass is only mirabonon. Now, mirabonon should not be confused with no bracha. We make brachas on the rabbanans. There are often cases in halacha where we don't make a bracha on a particular keli because it's a suffix whether it needs it or not. And then, so when we say either do the tefillah without a bracha, or more ideally, do it with something else, a fork or something else, which vaday needs a bracha, and make the bracha on that first. There is a huge discussion, but I get this as a from a Libun Hagala type thing, and even in terms of tefillah, a lot of the more modern, new types of what we would consider glass or not, this is part of the question, Pyrex and Duralex and Corel. So certainly, minimally, Le'inyan, these things, I saw that in the Kafras Currents from a number of years ago, Rabbi Heinemann assumed that these are all considered forms of glass, and therefore, again, would assume, maybe not with the bracha, but certainly would assume that would need to be told with them. That Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva in Chelech Ches. What Tzitz Eliezer says that, again, I don't know anything about this independently, he says that when they're made, different metals are mixed in. So it's not pure whatever it is that they tell you it is, but there are metals mixed in, and that's why he also assumes that there are some form of glass. Let me mention just briefly now things which are excluded from tefillah, rubber, nylon, and plastic, according to most poskim. Any yakas here? Chalat too? I never put them together before. Yeah. So the minug, if you ever lived in Washington Heights, if you live in Washington Heights, you know, this is, I think it's a big thing, it's announced on the mikvah, the minig in Breuers and apparently in Chabad, I'll take your word for it, as well, is that they are tovel plastic. But this is a very, so to speak, minority view.
Disposable plastic or something?
No. Disposable will have the same old. There is a last issue. I'll close with this. There's a discussion, Lamaisa, to cut to the chase, there's a discussion about earthenware we know is explicitly excluded. But what about earthenware? The Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch discusses, the Shulchan Aruch mentions, what if it's glazed with some kind of a metal? So there's is it just on the outside? Is it also on the inside? Is a discussion. This is not practical b'chalal anymore. However, the Shulchan Aruch... Right. The Shulchan Aruch now discusses, though, what about something that's glazed in glass? So Shulchan Aruch, we just read Shulchan Aruch, says chayiv. And if you would just be left to that, one might think that China b'zman hazeh would be chayiv. However, it seems that the overwhelming, I don't know if anyone disagrees, but just to be cautious, I'll say the overwhelming consensus of poskim is that our type of earthenware, bone china, etc., does not need tefillah. There have been big Yes. I give you the Maram Kamos if you'd like. You guys know this is it for the summer, so you're trying to get it all in. There's a journal that's put out by Rav Moshe's yeshiva, MTJ, called the Torah Ulahora. That's by the Dayanus Kolol, I think, there. So a lot of stuff that sometimes didn't even ever make it into Nigros Moshe. We have stuff from Rav Moshe there. His big Talmud, Rav Elimelech Bluth, writes up a lot of articles where he quotes him. So if you look in the Torah Ulahora, Volume 2, page 20, so if you can get a copy of an older Torah, you'll see he discusses and explains why most of the today's China does not require a tefillah. Rav Vajja has a tshuva in the Chelek Dalet of Yabia Omer. And there is a minority view, to the extent that I assume it was the same type of material, it wasn't that long ago, with the Aruch HaShulchan, or even Rav Tzvi Hoffman. They held perhaps that it doesn't need without a bracha, but to the best of my knowledge, in the circles that I've always traveled, that chumrah is not accepted, and we generally would assume to make completely despite the little shine that they put on it. But fundamentally, we view that as an earthenware vessel. Everyone should have a wonderful summer. Not that I won't see you, but I won't see you on Thursday nights, and we won't have chillin' together. And yeshakayach. Yes. Oh, exactly.